All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today is April 23rd, 2026, and our top story this morning is Tesla earnings. And Elon Musk would just love to talk to you about his humanoid robot Optimus, or the robotaxi, or AI, or data centers in space, anything but his car business. He doesn't want to talk about that. To borrow from Jeff Snyder over at Eurodollar University, the forgot how to grow electric vehicle business. It's doing okay, but Tesla is not priced for okay. And so he doesn't want to talk about the fact that the car sales at his company are stagnant for several years now, you know, going on a little more than a year and a half since Tesla's seen any growth in their signature business. And why is that a problem? Well, when your stock is trading at a price to earnings multiple of 350 plus, you better show some growth. The problem is they don't have any growth. And so Elon Musk and Tesla have set aside $25 billion in CapEx through the remainder of this year in order to convince investors that that growth is going to materialize. Trust me, bro, because if it doesn't, well, car companies don't trade at PEs of 355. They trade at PEs of 10, 12, 15 even. So Tesla's got a long way down if they can't convince investors that they are going to grow because of some sci-fi technology that's just over the horizon. And let's be honest with you, Tesla has been very successful in that endeavor because it's still trading at that 300 plus PE. And so investors are buying it for now. Now, the other big earnings report we got this morning was Texas Instruments. Some interesting things in Texas Instruments earnings. Big beats in data centers. All right, not surprising there, right? The data center, the spending boom and the CapEx being lit on fire. That's nothing new. We've seen that. Everybody was expecting that. But Texas Instruments stock is ripping up 10% this morning on a big earnings beat. And it looks like in addition to the data center sales that they're seeing consistent growth in industrial and manufacturing segments, chips that serve those industries. And that's got me scratching my head a little bit. What is driving that? Are we maybe finally getting a little bit of reshoring? Remember what we were promised with the trade war before a year of taco and not taco and 90-day delays and everything? And I guess now we're doing the same thing with Iran. But yeah, we were promised reshoring. That didn't really materialize, at least not in the short term, which nobody had any reasonable expectation that that would materialize in the short term, even though we were promised it. That's just political messaging. Maybe some of that is going on. Maybe it's also defense spending. There's been a lot of chatter about hiring in the defense industry. We've seen that. Amanda Goodall, AKA the job chick on Twitter, has documented that very well in her feed and in her Substack. We've seen a lot of ramping up of missile production, things like that, building of ships, building of submarines. So maybe that defense spending is also showing up in Texas Instruments earnings here. But a surprise there to see the industrial and manufacturing segment driving some growth. Dare I say, a good sign for the health of the U.S. economy. Although if it's things that go boom, it's not really a good sign of prosperity to come, is it? Another story we got to talk about, it's something I'm somewhat remiss. We haven't mentioned it yet. It's been a couple of days in the making here. Avis, the rental car company. What the hell is going on over at Avis? That stock is up several 100% over the last month. Although it cratered yesterday, it's fallen hard again this morning. Avis is in the midst of a good old-fashioned short squeeze, very similar to what happened with GameStop and AMC back in 2021. And again, guys, it's 2021 all over again. I mentioned that last week on my Patreon Zoom. I was talking about it again with George Noble and his Twitter space over the weekend. It's 2021 again, and you can see it with these meme stocks that are ripping like crazy. But here's the unique thing about Avis. It's not the dumb money, if you will, to borrow from CNBC's phrase. It's not a bunch of retail investors who got together on Reddit and realized the vulnerability. It's two hedge funds. Short interest was pretty high in Avis, and these two hedge funds, SRS Investment Management and Pentwater Capital, got together. And between the two of them, they control more than 100% of shares outstanding. Somebody explain that to me, please, all right? Guys, I have no formal pedigree in finance, right? I mean, I wear that on my sleeve. right? That you know, this is just kind of how I roll here. But how can two hedge funds control more than 100% of the shares of a company that are in existence? Just like with GameStop, how could you possibly sell more stock than ever existed and be naked short? Well, now with Avis, it looks like we have naked long. Is that what's going on here? Because these two hedge funds bought more than all the stock in existence of this company. Now, they own like 71% of the shares outright, and then the remainder they control through these cash return swaps that are eerily reminiscent of the blow-ups with Archegos Capital Management. But I digress. The market makers have just made a mess again. Guys, enough of these stupid headlines. Enough of the treasury companies. Enough of they just add AI to your name and you go up 500%. Enough of two hedge funds controlling 125% of the shares outstanding of a company. Oh my God, it's impossible to keep up with the fraud and the financial BS that is going on in this market. It is an exhausting endeavor. But that one is going on as well this morning, or at least that one has happened. It looks like now the rug pull is underway as the stock has been selling off pretty hard. What else we got? speaking of financial degeneracy, DJT, Trump Media Group, the owner of Truth Social, as well as the world's first publicly traded fusion power plant company. DJT CEO Devin Nunes, a former congressman from California, has abruptly quit his job as CEO. He's out of there. Full disclosure, I'm short this name because this company is a freaking joke, and I went short this name when the stock ripped like 60% on the announcement that they were buying a fusion company. I know enough to know that was horse manure, and when I saw the cheerleaders on CNBC pumping this stock over this stupid announcement, I was tripping over myself to go ahead and short that one, a short that's done very well. So yeah, full disclosure, I'm short that one. What is going on? All right, we got Spirit Airlines is in the final stages of negotiating a rescue with the government. Yep, the government's going to bail out Spirit. Why? Again, like, put that on the list of questions Jack has this morning. How could you control more than 100% of the shares outstanding of a company? And why on God's green earth would taxpayer dollars be used to bail out Spirit Airlines? Jack's got questions this morning, guys. Also on the airline front, we've got American Airlines. $4 billion hit they're expecting from higher jet fuel prices through the end of the year. Jet fuel crisis, guys. They said they were 4 weeks away from running out of jet fuel. That was a week ago. So that if my calculations are correct, that means in 3 weeks, a lot of people run out of gas. That's not good. And last but not least, we got to end it with two software names. It's a bad day for the software space. First off, ServiceNow. That stock is down double digits this morning. Their sales were down slightly in the Middle East since the outbreak of the war, and that did nothing to alleviate the concerns of AI disruption in the software space. So ServiceNow stock is getting killed this morning, and the other one spills over into private credit. We've got Thoma Bravo is near a deal to turn over the keys to Medallia. That's a software company that Thoma Bravo owns. And in turning over the keys to the lender, they'd basically be wiping out billions of dollars of equity in the company. But wait, there's more. If the equity in the company becomes worthless, you have to wonder about the debt for that company, Medallia. And Medallia's debt is currently residing in several private credit funds, all of which have locked the door and told their investors, you can't have all your money back. Gated redemptions, halted redemptions outright, Blackstone is one. KKR owns a lot of the debt of Medallia. So I guess we're going to find out what that debt in the private credit funds was really worth, because we know the equity is now worth zero. Keys going right back to the lender. Guys, we got a lot to talk about again this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon ahead and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every day. The S&P 500 is currently down about 21 points, or about a third of a percent. Some peculiar trading activity over the last hour or so. I don't know what drove this little rally that started around 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, and I also don't know why it's selling off right now, but some volatility in the market this morning. The Dow is down 268 points, a little more than a half a percent lower. And the NASDAQ is off by 90 points, or a third of a percent lower. Stocks down pretty much across the board this morning. The U.S. dollar is a little bit stronger at 98.73. That's higher by 11 basis points. Looking over at the bond market, looks like I didn't get my page set up right. I am remiss this morning. Let's scroll all the way down past the stands. There's the United States. We've got bond yields are little changed this morning. The 30-year yield is at 4.901. That's off by a fraction of a point. The 10-year yield is up a point and a half at 4.309. The 2-year yield is unchanged at 3.794. And the 1-month is also unchanged at 3.644. In the bond market, it's quiet. Maybe a little too quiet. Looking over at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is down this morning about $500 after ripping yesterday. Currently at $77,710 is priced on Coinbase. We went as high yesterday as $79,523 before we started to reverse a little bit. Guys, what's going on in Bitcoin? If you don't know what Stretch is and what MicroStrategy is doing, you should start reading about it now. If you're getting excited about this rally in Bitcoin, I'll give you a little taste. It's Michael Saylor's infinite money glitch with a new twist. That's all it is. MicroStrategy, through the issuance of these Stretch preferred stock, which promises this magic 11.5% yield with no risk. By the way, run when you hear that. That is why Bitcoin has been ripping over these last few weeks. They have been gobbling up billions of dollars of Bitcoin. I don't think that's going to end well. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got a mixed bag here. Gold, spot gold is down by about $4, $4,736, although the futures are up a couple of cents. Spot silver is down $1, $76.68, or 1.37% lower, but I still like the shiny. It's hard to look at $76 for silver and be disappointed. I mean, it's fallen from the headlines. I kind of missed the days when silver went up $5 every day just because, even though there was a lot of BS and these fake AI Asian guy videos were driving a lot of it, it was nice to look at silver at $120 an ounce. That being said, it's also hard to look at 76 and be disappointed, especially when you bought most of it in the 20s. Copper is down 1%. Platinum is lower by 2.4%. Palladium off by 4%. And crude oil is higher by 1%, just below $94 a barrel here, up about 90 cents for WTI crude. Look, guys, regardless of the on-again, off-again peace talks and whatever's getting posted on True Social, the longer nothing moves through the strait, the higher oil will grind. We're delaying it. There's all kinds of stories going on. Let's look at the oil chart while we're here. There's all kinds of stories out about, you know, all the hoops that various governments around the world are jumping through to make up for gaps in the oil deliveries because of what's going on in the strait. We're making up for it by dumping reserves. The SPR, China's dumping reserves. Everybody, Europe's dumping their reserves. And still, oil is generally grinding higher here, even though we've had all these big red candles because of jawboning Truth Social posts, which were probably insider traded by people connected to the White House. It's gross, but it's going on. It's pretty obvious at this point. But there is no resolution to this crisis on the horizon, at least nothing we can realistically expect. And so I think oil's probably just going to keep grinding higher here. And by the way, just to those hoops that the many governments are jumping through, we found this one this morning. India says fuel retailers are suffering losses on petrol and diesel sales for sales below market rates. India is one of those countries got a lot of price controls, but look at the losses here. This is pretty staggering. Indian fuel retailers are suffering a revenue loss of 100 Indian rupees per liter on the local sale of diesel. Guys, that's almost $4 a gallon of losses on diesel sales in India. They're losing $4 a gallon. They're also losing 20 rupees per liter on gasoline. That's about a little less than 80 cents per gallon of gas that they're 80 cents in losses per gallon of gas for these fuel retailers in India, selling the two fuels at below market rates. That's according to Sujata Sharma, the Joint Secretary of India's Oil Ministry. Indian refiners last raised fuel prices in April of 2021. India has no plans to raise fuel prices as of now to shield customers, she added. This is price controls, right? These are government-run fuel retailers. They're not allowed to raise the prices, which means they're losing big money. $4 a gallon on diesel, yikes. That means the government is paying for it. And if you think your government is paying for it, that means the average person is paying for it, either through higher taxes or higher inflation. That's how that works. Price controls never work. They lead to shortages. And, well, India's probably looking at fuel shortages. All right, now on to Tesla. This one, they reported earnings after the bell yesterday. Tesla boosts spending plan to $25 billion for AI and robot push. Yes, there's Optimus and, you know, handing out candy. What you can't see because they cut off the picture is the little cord that comes out the back of his leg and then the gasoline generator that's hiding behind the table to power him. But you know what? Robots are going to be awesome. Don't worry. We're all going to have robot butlers in 2 weeks, according to some of these statements. Tesla anticipates billions of dollars in additional spending this year to support Elon Musk's ambitions to transform the electric vehicle pioneer into an artificial intelligence and robotics company. Capital expenditures this year will exceed $25 billion, the company disclosed with its earnings Wednesday, roughly three times last year's outlay. The planned investment is up from a prior forecast of around $20 billion. You should expect to see a very significant increase in capital expenditure, Musk said on a conference call with analysts. Tesla shares erased after-hours gains following the comments and fell as much as 3.3% before the start of regular trading Thursday. Guys, we're three paragraphs in and we haven't talked about cars yet. This is Tesla. See what he did there? See, oh, look at what's going on in the left hand. Never mind what's going on with the right hand. The investments will be put toward a dramatic expansion of factory operations, including production of Optimus humanoid robots, AI initiatives, and the autonomous cybercab. Tesla's traditional auto business has declined in the past 2 years, putting greater pressure on the planned pivot to those futuristic initiatives. Oh, wait, their auto business has declined in the past few years? But they're a growth company, and their business is declining? Oh, never mind. Let's just talk about robots. In the first quarter, adjusted earnings rose to 41 cents a share, Tesla said, beating the 34-cent average analyst estimate compiled by Bloomberg. That marked the second straight quarter of better-than-expected results. The release offered promising updates on Tesla's core automotive business. The company reported seeing continued growth in demand for its vehicles in parts of Asia and South America, along with a rebound in North America, Europe, and the Middle East. The surprisingly optimistic comments came weeks after the automaker reported lower-than-expected vehicle sales to start the year. The first quarter was the second worst for auto deliveries since the middle of 2022, trailing only the year earlier period when Tesla paused production of Model Y SUVs and dealt with widespread backlash to Musk's political activities. The report confirms that while the legacy EV business is no longer growing rapidly or at all, it's stable enough to fund Tesla's heavy investments in robotics and self-driving technology, wrote Andrew Rocco, a Zacks investment research analyst. So Tesla is using their car company to finance their robot push. Their car company is no longer growing. The stock is down about 3.25% ahead of the opening bell here at $375. But again, guys, I got to draw attention to that PE, 355 times earnings for a company that isn't growing. That is obscene. That's why Elon wants to talk about robots and data centers in space and anything but his core business, because he's a growth company with no growth. And, well, that's ugly. That's ugly when that happens. Meanwhile, Texas Instruments topped Wall Street outlook on more than just data center demand. This is interesting this morning here, this industrial and manufacturing sales over at Texas Instruments. Texas Instruments, one of the microchip makers most exposed to the manufacturing sector, raised its outlook after seeing strong demand from industrial customers as well as from the build-out of data centers. Data centers, not surprising, the industrial customers, that is. I will say that the industrial signal was a little bit broader this time, said Chairman and CEO Haviv Eilon in a call with analysts on Wednesday evening, according to a FactSet transcript. I would say it's now 5 or 6 months of continued growth in industrial. We want to keep watching it, but I would say that's what guides our forecast into Q2. Industrial revenue is still 16% below the fourth quarter of 2021 peak, according to Citigroup. Artificial intelligence demand also helped the microchip maker as it saw 90% year-on-year growth from data centers, marking its eighth consecutive quarter of sequential growth from that segment. Texas Instruments guidance was also pretty good. That stock is ripping ahead of the opening bell, although it is giving up some of its gains. It was up 12% earlier this morning, now up about 9.7%, trading at $259.28. That's up almost $23 this morning. Year to date, Texas Instruments up 36.2%. It's been a pretty good year for that outfit. All right. Now we got to talk about Avis. The stock falls 38% as short squeeze shows signs of easing. And again, the stock fell 38% after ripping several 100% over the last month or so. And this is a company that loses money, by the way. Avis Budget Group plunged 38% Wednesday after a huge run-up over the past month, in potential sign that a short squeeze in the shares of the rental car company could be ending or at least easing. Avis fell 38% to $270 a share on Wednesday after trading at a record high. I'm sorry, trading at $443 a share on Wednesday after trading at a record high of $847 just after the open. All right, look at that trading range. It traded between $443 and $847 on the same day. Volume is heavy at more than 11 million shares. The stock is still up fourfold, just $100 a share from just over $100 a share on March 20th. Option activity has also been heavy lately. There doesn't appear to be any news driving the stock lower. Avis hasn't reported results for the first quarter. It said after the close of trading on Wednesday that it will report those results on April 29th. The apparent spur to the squeeze was two investors, SRS Investment Management and Pentwater Capital Management, who effectively control over 100% of Avis shares. Both aren't expected to consider selling stock until after the company reports first quarter earnings. Yeah, they aren't expected to, but somebody was selling yesterday because the stock was down almost 40% and is down another 9% this morning, trading at $402.25. But hey, let's zoom out. All right, this stock has been on a tear over the last month. Let's look year to date. Stock still up 246% year to date, even after that big sell-off yesterday. Guys, this was a short squeeze. All right. And again, how is it possible? I don't understand the finer mechanics of market makers and the Depository Trust Clearing Corporation and the way shares and securities entitlements move back and forth. Right. I get it. A lot of that is opaque to me. But how can two hedge funds possibly control more than 100% of the shares of a company? It shouldn't be possible, but it is. And that's why you get these stocks that are ripping 500%. Retail piles in, then the people who drove the rip sell off, retail loses money, rinse, repeat. We've seen this happen over and over again. Meanwhile, we've got Trump Media CEO Devin Nunes is leaving. This digital media veteran will take his place. It's always good news when the CEO departs effective immediately without any reason given, right? Trump Media and Technology Group, the company that runs Truth Social, said Tuesday that Kevin McGurn, a company advisor and a veteran of T-Mobile, Hulu, and Vivo, would take over as interim CEO, replacing the departing Devin Nunes. The move takes effect immediately, Trump Media said in a statement. McGurn has been an advisor to the company since December of 2024. Nunes, a former Republican lawmaker who left Congress to become Trump Media's CEO in 2022, said on True Social that the move would allow him to focus more intently on my role as chairman of the President's Intelligence Advisory Board and on other ventures. That's according to Variety, and he cited McGurn's experience in media and acquisitions. The move comes after Trump Media in December said it planned to merge with TAE Technologies in a deal valued at more than $6 billion that would see the president's preferred social media platform enter the nuclear energy business. Oh, no, not just the nuclear energy business, the nuclear fusion business. We're not talking fission. We're talking sci-fi here, stuff that doesn't exist yet. The deal would form one of the world's first publicly traded fusion companies, Trump Media said, and look to take advantage of the artificial intelligence industry's demand for energy. As soon as I saw that story back in December, I went and bought puts in DJT because buying a fusion company, a social media company buying a fusion company, come on, guys, that one was a layup. Now look at these numbers. Trump Media finished last year with around $3.7 million in revenue and a net loss of $712 million. Guys, this company is a joke. And now the CEO just left effective immediately with no reason given. The stock was down 3.5% yesterday, off by a half a percent or up by a half a percent this morning, trading at $9.53. But look here, this was the big rip. When they made their announcement that they were buying a fusion company, they went from about $10 a share up to as high as $16 a share. Anyone could have told you how that one was going to end. Meanwhile, we've got the Trump administration is nearing a deal to rescue Spirit Airlines. Why? Why are we doing this? Why is the government going to buy Spirit Airlines? They haven't done it yet, but they're apparently going to. The Trump administration is nearing a rescue deal for Spirit Airlines, which is struggling to survive during a run-up in jet fuel prices. Under the agreement being discussed, the U.S. government would loan the embattled discount carrier as much as $500 million, receiving in return warrants to take a potential significant stake in Spirit, people familiar with the matter said. The investment could help keep Spirit afloat as it seeks to emerge from its second recent bankruptcy filing. All right, that's important. Spirit filed for bankruptcy for the second time in like 6 years last year. Now, they were supposed to reorganize and come out under Chapter 11, but then jet fuel prices went ballistic because of the war in Iran, and the debtors were saying, you know what, on second thought, maybe we should just liquidate the company. Now, the government says we're going to buy the company, or up to 90% of it. Why? It's a flawed business model. It's the punchline of jokes. Just let it die. Just let it die. Spirit Aviation, their stock ripped yesterday, up 455% on the news. Again, though, trading only at $1.50. And we got another airline headline this morning. American Airlines loss narrows and sees a $4 billion cost from fuel. And that title pretty much says the whole thing. Americans still losing money, $4 billion because of jet fuel. That stock is actually doing all right, up 1.6% ahead of the opening bell after falling 2.3% yesterday. Jet fuel prices keep ripping here, guys, and a lot of airlines are going to start cutting capacity as that happens. All right, and we got two software names we got to talk about. ServiceNow falls after reporting sales slowed by the Middle East war. Not a good morning for ServiceNow. The shares dropped in extended trading after the provider of software for business tasks reported results that disappointed investors and said some sales deals have been delayed by the war in the Middle East. Subscription revenue rose 22% to $3.67 billion in the quarter ended March 31st, about in line with analysts' average estimate compiled by Bloomberg. It was actually a narrow miss. That expansion rate would have been nearly 1 percentage point higher if not for delayed closings of several large on-premise deals in the Middle East due to the ongoing conflict in the region, the company said on Wednesday. And keep in mind, this is during the SaaSpocalypse. Right. Everybody's worried about software dying because of AI. And so any bad news is just going to cream the stock. Leading software companies like ServiceNow are facing steep skepticism from Wall Street about their ability to thrive in the AI area. That stock down at 12.5% ahead of the open, trading at $90.28, off by almost $13, down 32.8% year over the last year or so. It's been a rough year for anybody in the software space. And one more, this one touches software and this one touches private credit. Thoma Bravo nears agreement to turn software firm Medallia over to creditors, sources say. A lot of these stories that we've gotten over the last couple of months about private credit firms gating redemptions, losses tied to Medallia was behind a couple of those. Now this company, he's dead, Jim. They're turning over the keys. It's like it's an office building. It's not worth what we borrowed here. It's your building now. Private equity firm Thoma Bravo is nearing an agreement to hand over software firm Medallia to its lenders, wrapping up months of restructuring negotiations, according to two people familiar with the matter. The move will wipe out $5.1 billion in equity for Thoma Bravo and its co-investors, who bought the customer service software company for $6.4 billion in 2021, the people said, asking not to be identified because the discussions are private. And this is, you know, the last bubble, 2021, right? The stimmy cash was flowing. Dollars were everywhere. Crypto and NFTs were all the rage. Kathy Wood was on CNBC every 5 minutes. They paid $6.4 billion for this company at that point. The loan-to-value ratio was only like 30%. They're like, oh, we've got this big cushion. Don't worry. You know, we're only borrowing a fraction of what the company's worth. Well, now all that equity, it's gone. $5.1 billion wiped out. And now we got to worry about the debt because all that debt remains. Thoma Bravo, Blackstone, and KKR declined to comment. Where is it they're talking about here? Medallia has struggled in recent months under the weight of $3 billion in debt, which it owes to Blackstone, KKR, Apollo and Antares. Those are the private credit funds that loan the money to Thoma Bravo in order to buy Medallia. Blackstone, KKR, and Antares Capital hold some of the debt in traded and non-traded private credit funds. FSKKR, that's one of the ones that gated redemptions, marked the debt at 79 cents on the dollar in its last quarterly report. And Apollo Debt Solutions marked it at 74 cents. Yesterday, Blackstone lowered it down to 60 cents on the dollar. Obviously, these private credit funds are going to lose a lot of money. And remember, guys, we talked yesterday about how the SEC was like, oh, yeah, there's some emerging pressure in the private credit space. We're closely monitoring the situation. It means we're doing nothing about this huge problem while clearing the way for this kind of garbage to be sold into your 401k or IRA. Remember, guys, the regulators are not going to help you. Nobody is looking out for you. You got to make sure this crap isn't hiding in your nest egg. And look, that's easier said than done, because you got to really open up these prospectuses and pour through it and try to translate. It's not easy. It's really hard to find out when this stuff is sleeping in some income or dividend fund that you bought in as part of a 401k plan. It sucks, but this is what's being done to people. This is being parked in their retirements. Hey, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out, should you feel so inclined. Thank you very much to my Patreon, YouTube, and Buy Me a Coffee channel members for supporting the channel. Links are down below. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.